I'll take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. We're going to look at the closing verses of Mark chapter 8. And last Sunday, we saw how Jesus gives sight. And he does that, first of all, physically to demonstrate his power. But Jesus also gives spiritual sight. And he has to do that even to his disciples so that they might see his purpose. And Jesus reveals his purpose to them, his mission in coming to the earth. And they don't understand that. Peter rebukes Jesus, and Jesus has to rebuke Peter. But Jesus is helping them understand, and Jesus helps us understand as well today. And as we look at the remaining verses here, he's continuing to enlighten us, to show us something that we must do in order to follow him. So let's begin by reading these last few verses. We'll start in verse 34, Mark 8, 34. Follow along as I read. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. These past two summers, most of you know that we've had a booth at the Knox County Fair, and our purpose in doing that is to be a witness to our community, to pass out gospel tracts, to seek to talk to people. And when we were at the Knox County Fair these past 2 years, our booth has been right across from the Marines, the booth that recruits people to join the Marines. And I learned some things about the Marines and how they get people to be interested in the Marines. And of course, like every branch of the military, they talk about the benefits of being in the Marines. They talk about the educational benefits, the pay that you receive, and they talk about the opportunities for travel around the world. They talk about just the pride of being a Marine, to say that you're a Marine. And of course, they have the freebies that they give away to people. And of course, they have the Marines themselves, you know, the young athletic guys who are there to represent and to attract people to join the Marines. But there's something else about the Marines booth that stands out above everything else, and that is because it is above everything else, and that is the chin-up bar. And amidst all the talk about the benefits of joining the Marines and all the good things, there's the chin-up bar that stands above everything else at their booth. And, of course, at the Marines booth, there was the challenge of, I think it was 25 or 30 real chin-ups where you have to go all the way down, all the way back up. If you could do that, then you'd win a prize. You know, I did not see one person do that. I saw a lot of people try. I didn't see anyone do it. There probably was one or two, maybe. But that chin-up bar says something about the Marines. There's a lot of benefits to joining the Marines, but that chin-up bar says something to any would-be recruit, and that is, joining the Marines is going to cost you something. You are going to have some physical demands placed upon you that right now you are not able to do. But if you're going to be a Marine, there's going to be a cost. And I think that the Marines put that chin-up bar out by with that purpose. We come here to Mark chapter 8, we see that Jesus has revealed his purpose, his mission in life, in his coming to the earth. And the revelation to the disciples is that that involves hardship. And they say, what hardship? We don't understand that. But yes, he came to suffer. And in these next verses, Jesus says to the disciples, in effect, just as I must suffer, there is a need for suffering on the part of any who would follow me. And he makes that very clear. He doesn't try to disguise that. And he doesn't do it to discourage people. Jesus shares this truth about the suffering even of his disciples, not to discourage people from following him, but to encourage them to choose to follow Jesus. He wants people, all people, to make the choice to follow Jesus. That's what Jesus is trying to do. That's what he says to us here tonight. He says to you, I want you to choose to follow Jesus. Don't make the choice not to follow me. Choose to follow me. Choose to follow Jesus. But he wants you to know what's involved in that choice. So tonight, I want us to see what is involved in choosing to follow Jesus. What's involved in that choice? I want you to see two steps involved in choosing to follow Jesus. And the first step we see in verse 34, and that is to accept the suffering involved in following Jesus. How do you choose to follow Jesus? Well, first of all, you have to accept the suffering involved in following Jesus. Look at verse 34 again. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So he wants you to accept the suffering involved in following Jesus. And I think we need to understand something about that suffering and its relationship to being saved. We need to understand the relationship of this choice to salvation. We need to be very clear on what saves us. What is the means of salvation? Suffering is not the means of salvation. Now, there are people that believe that. And they see, well, okay, I need to suffer to be saved, and so I'm going to join a convent, become a nun or something, or a monk. And if I can suffer a little bit and show the Lord that, then he'll save me. But that's not what produces salvation. The scriptures are very clear that salvation comes by faith alone. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it is a gift of God. Suffering does not produce salvation. But what does suffering do? Suffering for Jesus Christ is an evidence of true salvation. A person who is willing to suffer for Christ is an evidence. It shows that someone is a genuine believer. So it's not a means of salvation, but it is something that should be understood right along with salvation. When we make the decision to trust Christ, we need to understand what we're doing. People need to understand, you need to understand, that if you trust Christ, you are a genuine believer, you will face hardship because of that. You will, and you need to understand that. And this really is tied very closely with salvation. We see that in the next few verses, that really this choice is a matter of eternal life or eternal death. And we see that in the next Jesus reasons for following him that we'll get to in a few moments. But it's something that should be understood right along with salvation. So what is involved in this choice? What's the nature of this choice to accept suffering? Well, first of all, we need to see that this is a choice that is open to all people. Jesus says to all people, choose to follow me. We see that in verse 34 again. Notice that he called the people unto him. He calls the people unto him with his disciples. He's not just talking to his disciples here. This is a choice that is open to all people, the choice to follow Jesus. And then we see that where he says in verse 34, whosoever will, whoever wants to follow Jesus, here's what you must do. This is open to everyone. This choice is open to anyone. We also see that this is a definite choice. It's a definite choice. First of all, one of the first requirements for choosing to follow Jesus is given in verse 34. Jesus says, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. And the verb that's used here, the tense of the verb, shows that this is a definite choice. A choice to deny self. And that doesn't just mean self-denial, although I think it certainly involves that. Followers of Jesus should be willing to deny themselves of certain things that will prevent them from following him. But it's even more broad than that. It's a choice to not just participate in self-denial, but denial of self. When we come to Jesus Christ, we are putting ourselves away. We are saying to Christ, I am not going to depend on myself for salvation. I'm depending on Jesus, not myself. I deny myself. So we deny every part of ourselves when we come to Jesus. It's a choice to deny self. And along with that, another definite choice is a choice to take up the cross. Look at verse 34 again. Jesus says, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Another definite choice. And this isn't just the idea of accepting the irritations of life here. You know, you have to change diapers all the time maybe, or you have to cook a lot of meals for your family. You don't really enjoy cooking. That's not what it's talking about here. This is talking about being willing to go to the point of death for Jesus. Just as Jesus took up his cross to die, his followers must take up their crosses and be willing to go to that point of death. Now, our death for Jesus Christ does not accomplish the same thing that Jesus' death accomplished. But that willingness is a reflection of what he did as well. So the choice is definite. It's a definite choice to deny self. It's a definite choice to take up the cross. And I think these things are just another description of what happens in salvation. It's not that we first have to deny ourselves and then we come to the point of salvation and then we choose to take up the cross. These things go right together with that decision to trust Christ. It's a denial of self, and it's a choice to take up his cross, to go to the point of death. So it's a definite choice, but it's also a continual choice. Look at verse 34 again. Jesus says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now that verb, the tense of that verb, is different than those other two commands. This is a present tense command. This is a command to continually be following Jesus. So that willingness to accept the suffering involved in following Jesus is not just something that takes place once, but it's a daily task. And Jesus even says this in Luke's account. He says that people must be willing to take up their cross daily, something that all Christians need to be reminded of each day, that task of self-denial, putting self aside and following Jesus all the time. It's part of our spiritual growth. So what's involved in choosing to follow Jesus? First of all, there needs to be acceptance of the suffering involved. Just as Jesus suffered, his followers also must suffer as well. During our vacation this past fall, the place that we went to in Virginia invited us to participate in a tour of the particular vacation area that we were staying in. And so I got a call, hey, would you like to participate in this tour? You'll receive some free gifts at the end of the tour, and it'll be great. You know, Friday, I think it was at 9 o'clock, just come on down to the office and we'll have this tour. So I said, sure, that sounds great. Now I knew what I was getting into, but they called it a tour. And it sounded kind of fun. So we went to the tour, and after we got finished with the tour part, we went back to the office, and then the pressure started. And, you know, do we want to buy in? And why not? Why would you ever say no? And so the first saleswoman got through with us, and I just said no. She brought her manager in. Manager gave us, you know, a deal that was only could only be offered that day, and just happened to have a few extra products to offer. And you know, how could we possibly refuse that? Well, no. And so they showed us over to the checkout room, and someone was assigned to give us a survey. And so we got through the survey, which was another sales presentation, another opportunity to buy in. Here's another offer for you. How could you possibly resist that? And no, not going to do that. So finally, we got out, and we got our freebies. But unlike the tour, when Jesus presents us with a decision here, he wants us to know what we're getting into. He wants us to know what is involved. And what is involved in suffering, or what is involved in following Jesus? It's suffering. And he wants you to realize that at the outset. If you choose to follow Jesus, there's going to be suffering. It's not what produces your salvation, but it goes right along with it. It goes right along with it. So we must accept the suffering involved in following Jesus. That's the first step in choosing to following Jesus. What's the second step? The second step is to recognize the consequences of choosing to avoid suffering. So we need to accept the suffering involved. And then right along with that, another step is to recognize the consequences of choosing to avoid that suffering. And beginning in verse 35, Jesus presents a few possible situations to show what it would look like to choose not to follow Jesus. And he tells us what the consequences are of choosing not to follow Jesus. And he gives us several reasons, several situations. And he marks each of those situations with the same word. There's a word that's repeated four times throughout these next four verses, and it's translated in some different ways, but it's the same word. Verse 35, for. Verse 36, for. Verse 37, or. That's the same Greek word that's used above. Verse 38, therefore. Again, that's the same Greek word. But he marks off each of those reasons, each of those situations that explain the consequences of choosing to avoid suffering. What is the first consequence? Well, he tells us in verse 35 that there are consequences for choosing to preserve physical life instead of choosing to follow Jesus. There are consequences for just preserving your physical life instead of following Jesus. Look at verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. So Jesus tells us here that if you choose to preserve your physical life, what's going to happen to you? If you choose to do that instead of following Jesus, you will lose your eternal life. And the only thing that will result in preserving your eternal life is sacrificing, being willing to sacrifice your physical life. Jesus uses a word here for life that actually has two meanings. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. That word for life is used again in verse 36. It's the same word, but it's translated soul. And our translators understood that that word sometimes has two meanings, and it's used here with two meanings. He's talking about the difference between your physical life and your eternal life. And they're both intertwined, and a decision just to preserve your physical life affects your eternal life. So he says there are consequences for choosing to preserve physical life. And remember, he's showing us this not to merely scare us, but to help us to see the necessity of choosing to follow Jesus. Because if you choose anything else, there are serious consequences. It may be hard for us to imagine that we would ever be faced with a choice to preserve our physical life or follow Jesus. But there are many in the world who face that choice. There are many throughout the history of the church, throughout the history of Christianity, that have had to face that choice. One of the earliest was a personal friend of the Apostle John. His name was Polycarp, the Bishop of Smyrna. And at age 86, he was faced with that choice. He was urged by the Roman proconsul to deny Christ and be set free. And this is what he said. He said, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? And he joyfully died at the stake. But he made the right choice. He understood that the decision to give up his physical life would result in the preservation of his eternal life. And we need to see that as well, because there may come a day when you may face that decision to deny Christ and live, or to follow Christ to the death and gain your eternal life. There are consequences for choosing to preserve physical life instead of choosing to follow Jesus. Then in verse 36, Jesus gives us another situation, and he shows us that there are consequences for choosing to prize material wealth instead of following Jesus. Look at verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall it profit a man? So what's the consequence for prizing material wealth? The consequence is that there is no profit. There is no gain for that decision. In the end, you will have nothing. Even though you may have gained all the riches in the world, if you did that instead of choosing to follow Christ, you will have nothing. There's a man by the name of Spencer Penrose in the 1800s. Who lived in a prominent family in Philadelphia, and he was kind of regarded as the black sheep of the family because he chose to move west. He moved to Colorado, and that was in 1891. He was fresh out of Harvard University, and he hadn't been there very long when he wired his brother back in Philadelphia to send him $1,500 for an investment in a mining operation. And his brother wired back and sent him $150 and told him to buy a train ticket back home and to get out of the investment deal. Well, Spencer didn't do that. And many years later, he returned to Philadelphia, and he went up to his brother and handed him a check for $75,000. And his brother said, "Hey, wait a minute, you don't remember, I didn't go into that deal with you." And he said, "I know. If you would have sent me the $1,500, I would be giving you $750,000. He got a great return on that on that investment opportunity, and that's something that we all wish for. But Jesus warns here that no amount of return, no amount of profit will compensate for the loss of your eternal soul. There's nothing that is as valuable as gaining your eternal soul. There is no profit. There is no gain for that. There's another consequence for prizing material wealth in verse 37. Look at verse 37. He says, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So there's no profit for this choice, and there are no returns for this choice. There are no exchanges for this choice in eternity. If you were to make the choice not to follow Jesus and you got to eternity, which you will get to eternity, not eternal life, but eternal death, and you realize the mistake that you made, there is nothing that you can give in exchange for your soul. There's nothing that you can give to get your soul back, to get your eternal life back. Right now we're in the before Christmas shopping period, and the stores are all busy with that. But there's a post-Christmas shopping period. And if you go into the stores after Christmas, you see they already have the lines set up for the returns and for the exchanges. You know, if you don't get the gift that you want, you can go and exchange it for something else. But when you get to that point of eternity and you realize that you didn't get eternal life, you cannot exchange it. No matter what you have, you cannot exchange your money for your soul. That's a consequence of choosing to prize material wealth instead of choosing to follow Jesus. So there are consequences of choosing to avoid suffering. Sometimes that may be preserving your physical life. It may be prizing material possessions. But it all adds up to the same choice. And that is described in verse 38. Look at verse 38. "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory, in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Any choice not to follow Jesus ultimately adds up to being ashamed of him, to being ashamed of who he is and of what he has said. And that is a pressure that we face. We face the pressure to be ashamed of Jesus. And that's because of the culture that we live in. And Jesus describes it as adulterous and sinful. Our culture has turned away from Christ. Maybe they once have followed him, but they have left him. They're adulterous. They are sinful. And we face the pressure to be ashamed. But understand that if you are ashamed of Jesus now, he will be ashamed of you in the coming judgment. That's a serious consequence. That's a serious consequence. That's another way of saying that you will face eternity apart from him. And Jesus reasons with you. He reasons with people here. This is a consequence of choosing not to follow Jesus. So what must we do? We must embrace the person and work and the words of Jesus. We must accept him, and we will not face those consequences. Accept that there is suffering, recognize the consequences, but make that choice to follow Jesus. Joseph Griggs was born in around the 1720s. And he worked as a manual laborer, but eventually he became a pastor. He was an assistant pastor of a Presbyterian church in London. And Joseph Griggs wrote a lot of hymns. Now, we don't sing a lot of his hymns today, but there is one hymn that has endured to this time. And it said that Griggs wrote this hymn when he was only 10 years old. Now, the poetry has been improved since he first wrote it. But it's called Ashamed of Me, and it's his own response to the thought of being ashamed of Jesus. It goes like this: Jesus, and shall it ever be, a mortal man ashamed of thee, ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glory shine through endless days, ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom my hopes of heaven depend. No! When I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere his name. He couldn't stand the thought of being ashamed of Jesus. And that's the response that Jesus wants us to have at that thought of being ashamed of him. No! Be this my shame if I blush. We need to choose to follow Jesus. Jesus leaves his disciples with some encouragement. Chapter 9, verse 1. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. He said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. So he encourages them, in spite of that difficult teaching on suffering. He says, there's some of you that are going to see the kingdom of God come in its power. And I think the fulfillment to that is in the very next verses of chapter 9, the account of the transfiguration of Jesus, which was a description, a display of God's kingdom in power. And we'll get to that next time we study this. But it's like Jesus is saying, I know this is difficult for you. I know it's difficult for you to go through suffering on my sake, and so I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something, and I think Jesus says this to us as well, because we have the written record of that transfiguration. So he's saying, I know it's difficult, but it's going to be worth it. And let me show you that it's going to be worth it. And he shows them the glory of his kingdom and that transfiguration. So Jesus wants every person here tonight to make that choice to follow Jesus. And he wants you to make that choice with full knowledge of what that will involve. You need to accept that that will involve suffering. But Jesus still wants you to make that choice. And he's helping us to make that right choice by showing us that there are consequences for not choosing to follow Jesus and avoiding that suffering. There are eternal consequences. So make that choice to follow Jesus. Have you done that? Have you made that definite choice? I'm going to follow Jesus. I see that Jesus is the only way of salvation. And I deny myself and cast myself upon him alone for salvation. And I'm willing to take up the cross. Have you made that choice? If you have, continue to follow him. Continue to follow him each day. Realize that this is a daily task. It's a daily recognition, a daily taking up your cross and following him. It's a decisive act for sure, but it must continue if you are a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you show us what you expect of us. You don't try to hide anything. We pray that you would help us, help everyone in this room, to make that choice to follow Jesus, even if there's suffering involved. Help us to accept that suffering. Help us each day to continue to follow you, not to turn away from you when we face hardship, but to follow you in spite of that suffering. We pray for the grace that we need to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.